I want to bring you a message today. I'm just going to title it Selah. And you know what that means. Selah just means rest. It just means think about it. Just meditate on these things. And so I just felt the Lord talking to me this week, or especially Friday and Saturday, about rest, especially after what all has gone on. Oh, my goodness. You know, it seems that every single week we come in here, and it's just not week by week. It's almost day by day. Current events are changing all the time. Things are happening, and you're telling me that about your jobs? You're like, I go to work, and I don't know what kind of rules they're going to have today, and tomorrow it may be different from that. But that's the world we live in right now. And so if you think that you're going to get back to normal if Donald Trump gets in, it won't be. And if you think it'll be normal when Biden gets in, no. If he does get in, it won't be normal again. When we can get all the seats back in the House, will it be normal? We can go to church as many times as we want and do as we please? The norm's over, honey. That old horse left the barn. It's over. Ship has sailed. Now, I'm telling you, though, I love it because I see God doing some great things, and I'm just thinking he's saying, okay, it's just time I get rid of some political sacred cows and some church sacred cows and some religious sacred cows. Let me help you all out a little bit. So he just closed down the whole thing. He said, I've about had it with America anyway. So just get out of the restaurants, get out of the bars, get out of the church, get out of the schools. Can I say all that? You know it's the truth. He said, y'all just sit down, Selah. You know, every 50 years is a jubilee, but how many knows Jesus is our jubilee? So when we met him, we got the jubilee. So I just want to endeavor to come here today, and I pray that even while I'm talking this morning, that there will be a wave of Selah just come across this congregation, that there will be a wave of rest. I know we're tired, and you know what? We're kind of sick and tired, really. If you want to know the truth, just kind of sick and tired of the whole thing, And I don't think it's one. I think it's probably all of us. But God has been good. You know, most of the stuff we're seeing is out there. No one's had COVID in our, well, a couple maybe, but not in the church. They got it here at the church. We had a couple that I know of that had COVID, but family, my kids working at medical, you know, in the medical field, fire department, and you all are out there working at Porterville Developmental Center and the prisons, and everybody's been safe, and I'm thankful for that. I'm really, really, really thankful. But anyway, with all we've seen, just this week, just the last couple of days, it's enough just to wear you out. Just wear you out. And Daniel chapter 10 says that that's exactly what Satan comes to do. Did you know that? Satan comes to wear, the old King James says this. I'm not giving you a new translation. The old King James says Satan comes to wear down the saints, to wear them down. He thinks to change the laws of God. And by the way, some of those, now the laws of God have not changed, but some of the laws in our land have changed in the past few years, like abortion and same-sex marriage and some of these things. So he has thought to change those laws, but he cannot change the laws of God. They may be changed on earth, but they'll never change in heaven. Amen? So right now, though, you've heard, if you've been listening, and I'm sure you have, to Christian TV or maybe on YouTube or Facebook. And you know what? There are prophets in the land today. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, if you believe in the fivefold ministry and you believe in pastors and teachers and evangelist, then you've got to believe in the apostles and the prophets as well. And so a lot of the prophets have been saying a lot of things. Many of them have been right on for many, many years. And those are the ones I like to listen to that were very accurate over the years. Those that predicted 9/11. Those that told us certain things. So don't despise prophesying. Because you say, well, you know, this one said President Trump would get in, and he didn't. Well, it's not over until it's over. And you know the story, folks. You know that they have been after this man ever since he got into office, trying to destroy. They came up with a Russia hoax and came up with the impeachment story and came up with all kinds of things trying to tear down and destroy and bring a little coup to the office of our president, which we haven't seen before. And all of this has happened, so they really expect us to believe this? Do they think that we're a bunch of morons? Or children, or whatever you want to call, they do, they think we are. But see, news media never has been able to predict the winner of an election. No, the media can't do that, they never have, and it's not going to start now. Because Americans are smart, willing. Now, Americans are kind people, and we're very generous. We're generous to other nations. We're generous to each other. And Christians are especially generous, and we want to be spiritual-minded, so we want to be kind. But, church, there's some things we just have to stand up for. And if you listen to the message Wednesday night, you should have listened. If you didn't, then you're not going to win a free pack of Dr. Pepper after service. So you just should listen, because I here was my message. You cannot talk sweet talk to the devil. Don't you sweet talk him? Don't you listen to who you shouldn't be listening to? Because if we didn't believe that pack of lies and that fraudulent and those all of that stuff that they brought up on the president, then don't start believing it now. Because the media predicted this, not the votes of the people. And by the way, there's about at least three states where all the votes aren't even in yet. How do you do that? How do you have a president elect and you don't have all the votes in? Fox News said he won Arizona. Well, they're not all in. The military ballots weren't even in yet. What an insult to the men that protect our nation. I mean, an absolute insult to the people who took off work to go vote, and then their vote may not be counted, or it is as nothing. Well, it's just not going to work. And so don't be discouraged. Let's just see what thus saith the Lord. Because I believe that God's people have a voice, and I believe we're going to keep that voice. Now, I want you to remember 2 Chronicles 20:20. Many of you have it memorized. It says this: now believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. That's why some of you in this house today, you're just as solid as a rock. You're just steadfast in what you believe, and you know who in whom you believe, and you know what you believe. And nobody could sway you. You just set your face like a flint. You know, you just set it like a stone, and you're like the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jesus is the wheel in the middle of the wheel, and everything's turning except him. He says there's no shadow of turning in him. And I don't change yesterday, today, or forever. And he made us just like that too. He said, I don't want you to be changing every time something comes along that upsets you. Okay, we're bigger than that. So he said, now believe the Lord God, you'll be established, and believe his prophets, and you will prosper. So now, just because you said, I heard this and this prophet dreamed that and it sounded so right, but now, you know, he's a liar and I don't, you know, and he, man, some of these guys are saying people are wanting to throw rocks at them. Listen, did you know that all prophecies are time related? Are there false prophets? Of course there's false prophets. The Bible tells us to test the spirits and find out. That's why we need to believe in God, read our Bibles, and know what we believe. And we won't be easily fooled. So I just want to say, I feel like the Lord is saying we just need to pause right here and take a big rest right here. In fact, I think that before we go a bit farther this morning, as I was up very early in prayers, I am on Sunday morning, and I was there, and I just felt to cuddle over to the cross, just get over to the cross and gather around it, wrap my arms around it. In fact, I'll just bring the whole globe. I'll just bring all of it, United States. I'll bring the world. Let's just go to the cross. And you know, there's something about when you get to the cross, you know what happens? I felt myself down there. I of course, you know, I imagined in my mind the blood of Jesus just falling on me and falling on our nation and falling on the president and just falling on us, falling on his people, falling on the church. Because when you get to the cross, see, there's nothing that can distort you there. When you get to that cross, you just go into a total Selah. You just do. You get into a total Selah, a total meditation, a total rest, and nothing can pull you away from that except you. If you want to walk away, you can stay as long as you want to, but I want to tell you, church, God is on our side. Somebody say it. God is on our side. Yes, he is. So we just got to stop, meditate, get to the cross before you go to the next place. Before you want to throw in the towel, or before you quit that job, or before you want to change something in your life, or before you want to get that divorce, or before you want to do this or that, you better just go over and hover around the cross for a little while and just say, Selah. I'll just meditate right here with you, Jesus, and see what you say. Well, I'm just wondering, can I just ask you this? I promise I won't stay here all day, but I do have some things that I know you're thinking about it, and I know I'm thinking about it, but I just wonder who in their right mind would let Joe Biden and Kamala Harris step up on that stage and make an acceptance speech. Who would do that? I don't get it, folks. The votes aren't all in. And we've heard about the software that's crooked. Well, we'll find out if it is. If there's no evidence, well, you know what? We're not going to burn anything down. We're not going to get all upset. We're going to pray for Joe Biden if he's our president. We're going to bless him. We're going to pray for him. And we'll move on and we'll stand against the evil stuff that we know he stands for. That's what we'll do. But have you noticed there's been no rioting? Man, we're just all just as upset as can be at what happened. But we didn't throw one rock through a window. We didn't burn any cities down. So guess who's doing the mess? Well, the devil with two legs. We can't say he made me steal that chicken, you know. We put our hands around his neck. Well, all I can say is maybe that's the way why Biden stayed at home all those months. He just stayed at home, didn't answer any questions or anything. You know why? Because the fix was in. If you know you're going to win, you don't have to do anything. My mama would just say, you know, you just don't do squat. And he didn't. He wouldn't even answer questions. And poor old Trump's out there working his tail off 5 times a day, answering any question anywhere to anyone. But I don't know why they would want to go out there and humiliate themselves, because I believe that there's going to be a turnaround. Now, that's just my thought, but I believe it. I believe there's going to be a turnaround, and the words of the prophet are going to come to pass. I'm going to believe the words of the prophet, and I'm going to prosper because I'm established in Jesus. I know who to listen to, and I know who to throw out with the baby in the bathwater. So come on, church. You stand up, but we got to pray this thing through. So don't you say, well, you know, they're up there praying in Washington, D.C., and the others are praying. No, you got to do it too. All of us are in this thing together. We really are. So everybody praying, and pray for our president, and pray for his wife, and pray for the family, and pray for the administration, because these guys have people on that court who are going to make some quality choices. There's a few people that stand for the right things. My goodness, when you hear what's on the other side, like open abortion when they're full term. Who would want to take away the freedom of speech? What kind of nation is it if we're all going to talk the same language? If you just always, always, always agree together. They're like, no, your word is not worth anything unless you're saying what I want you to say. I mean, that's even in the universities. I remember when Trump got in, they had to have safe zones. Man, these grown university students had to get a safe zone so they could go over there and color. I got to go color my problems away. And they call us, you know. standing for all of those things that are evil. But I want to tell you, they're going to be exposed very soon. You just wait. You'll see these voting things that they're, the Fox News is even kind of acting cowardly right now. It's the craziest thing. They're the only voice that we've had for 4 years. And now they're acting goofy. Just so that, I don't know, get a feather in their cap or whatever. But I want to tell the world this. I want to tell the world. I can tell you, but you already know it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, and God will not be mocked, and he's not going to be mocked. I mean, he's just not. His power and his glory, I believe he's manifesting himself right now. He said, I shut it all down. I'm bringing a big old jubilee rest to everybody right now. But I'm telling you the greatest things that we have never seen, the manifestation of the glory of God like we're going to see it. Would you turn in your Bibles if you want to go with me over to, I'm going to go to two chapters in the Psalms. I'm going to go to number three because number three, oh man, David was riding the same horse. I got to tell you right here. But I wanted to look at chapter 2 for a minute, Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. And see, David was thinking along the same lines that you and I are this morning. Mm-hmm. We're just thinking along the same lines. Let us read it. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. David's asking, hey. Well, he didn't say that. I threw that in. You'll see it sooner or later. Hey, why do the nations rage? Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bond in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We don't want all this conservatism. Get it out of here. Ooh, look at verse 4. Listen, you don't want verse 4 to happen to you. I don't want verse 4 to happen to anybody because it's really a big deal. When this happens, you just need to get out of town. I mean, you just need to run or something, but he'll catch up with you. Verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. See, he's talking now about his son Jesus. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. You ask of me, son, and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. All right, I want you to stop right there and look at verse 12. Our Father instructs us through King David, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. You get close to him and you stay intimate with Jesus. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in God. I'm going to tell you folks this morning, we are a blessed people because our hope, our faith, and our trust is in God. And we're wondering too, why are the nations raging? Raging about somebody that has worked free for 4 years. I mean, President Trump has worked completely free, over $400,000 a year. That's almost $2 million for the time that he has served. He doesn't drink booze with his higher ups. He's as high as it goes. He doesn't drink wine. He doesn't drink beer with them. See, he doesn't quite fit that elite club there in Washington, D.C. Just doesn't seem to fit. He talks like a good old boy, but he's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. And he has work habits like a blue-collar worker. I mean, the man worked hard. And his sons and daughter work hard. The daughter and son-in-law been working 4 years without pay. You said, well, they're rich. They can do it. But how many rich people would do that? Huh? How many rich people would do it? They won't. Nobody's talking about what he has given. He has given up some of his wealth. He will go out with less than he went in with. Joe Biden's coming in with a whole lot more. And how did he get it? Oh, no, he gave up America for his wealth. If that's true, and it will come out if he's made deals with China, and I'm going to tell you that's way scary. But see, the old King James says, one day all these guys have had their say. They have raged a vain thing against America and the nations of the world, but God says, one day I will laugh at their calamity. And it will be a calamity. Who wants to see anyone shame themselves or be humiliated? Nobody likes that. Now, in this day, you can write this down. You know it's a truth. There will be a great falling away and a great outpouring all at the same time. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is going to bring divine healings, prophetic words, will be the talk of the town. Notable miracles will be the talk on everybody's lips. We will see things that we haven't seen, great exploits done by God's people. My God. But he said, but at the same token, I'll be laughing at them, but you'll be laughing. You will say, my mouth is full of laughter. Look what the Lord has done. He has been good to us. People of Israel, live that out. No, I know he doesn't fit even the church's qualifications with his mouth. You know, he says bad words, and we don't like that. But we didn't vote in a Sunday school teacher. If I'm going to have heart surgery or brain surgery, I'd rather have a surgeon that knows his business than a Sunday school teacher that doesn't know anything. Okay, that should have got more amens, but I don't really think Donald Trump understands the church. But you know what? He loves her. Because he surrounds himself with God's people. Did you notice that? He surrounds himself with God's people. And I believe it was Lance Waldo said he went out to Las Vegas church last week. And we saw it on YouTube. And man, I'm telling you, I've been to Las Vegas church. Those guys are wild out there. They're Pentecostal to the hilt. And I mean, they'll pray for you. They get up there and lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and prophesy. And man, he's right in the middle of it. So he doesn't understand it. I mean, they're up there with their hands lifted. He's like, what are they going to do to me? But he loves it. I mean, why would he choose somebody like his VP? You know, most of the people around him, the press secretary, all of them, they're Christians. There's something about us that he is curious about. There's never been another president ever in history that has invited so many Christians into the Oval Office. I mean, that's an amazing thing to me that they just get to go in. And he'll see somebody on YouTube preaching the gospel and standing up for what's right, and he'll bring them right into the White House. So David had some similar issues. Let me just get to it, or I'll talk all day. Let me get over here to Psalms 3. I won't really, but Psalms 3, verse 1. Now look, look at me for a minute. I want to tell you this. Your Bible probably has this heading on here. But at this point in David's life, David was already anointed to be the king of Israel. Now, remember when David was a little boy? God sent Samuel out to Jesse's house to anoint his boys to be king. He saw the 11 boys, and he said, no, none of them are it. Do you have one more? And he said, yeah, I've got a little boy, a little ruddy boy out there keeping the sheep. His name's David. And he said, well, bring him in. Well, so they bring David, and he anoints him. He said, he's the one. He's going to be the king of Israel. Well, as David grew up, there was a big, tall, handsome guy, and the people started crying out. We've had judges for years and years and years. We've just about had it with judges. We want a king. And God said, you'd be better off if you don't have a king. If you just wait on me, I'll give you a king when I'm ready. But no, they wanted a king. So sometimes God will give you exactly what you want if you just keep on. Really good to pray his will, don't you think? Anyway, God gave them Saul. And so Saul was the king, and All of a sudden, David grew up. David had killed a lion and he killed a bear, and people were just dancing around saying, man, this David is something else. Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed 10,000s. And so now he's after David. Now, I will quote Sarah Huckabee. I just saw this on Twitter yesterday. Sarah Huckabee said this. You know, she's a good little Baptist girl. And she said, while God was anointing, while Saul was chasing David, who was to be the real king, God was anointing David. God had already anointed David to be king while Saul is chasing him into a cave. So those of you that have a call on your life, and you know that God has made some promises to you, he has promised you some stuff, and you know it, and it's deep in your heart. And if you told anybody else what God was going to do with you, it might be a little embarrassing for you to tell it, because you think, oh, they're just going to look at me and say it couldn't happen with you. But you know it. You know it, and God knows it, because he called you to that, and he put it in you. You say, well, I'm getting older now. Age doesn't mean anything. Well, I don't have the money. Well, I don't have this. Well, it doesn't matter. When you're called of God, David was out in the field. But long story short, David was the king. He had his position. There's things that we have that's right on the brink of coming to you, but Satan will come to get it every single time. You know the old song we used to say, he's an on-time God? Yes, he is. But sometimes, you know, we say, well, he's never early and he's never late. Well, I'll tell you this about him. He's almost late. Most of the time, he's right at the last minute. He may not be late, but boy, he's right at it. He waited until they got to the Red Sea. Now, he's king, okay? So he's getting ready to head to the throne now. Saul is dead. That's all over, okay? That devil's gone. Won't have to deal with that anymore. Woo! But look at chapter 3, Psalms 3, verse 1. Now they have increased to trouble me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there's no help for him. In God, there's no help for this boy. They said that about Jesus too. So you can run this with Jesus, but David was running from Absalom, his son. Now his son, he says, I'm going to take the kingdom. And he literally stole the kingdom from his father. You say, how in the world did he do that? Well, read 2 Samuel 13, 14, 15, up to about chapter 19, and you'll see how it all happened. So Absalom, his third son, got him off the throne, stole the kingdom from him, convinced all the people that he was the better king, he would make better decisions. In fact, David would be extremely busy. David was a hard worker, a theologian. I just read this, I think, in Matthew Henry's commentation yesterday. And he was saying this. It was in the Treasuries of David I read this. Spurgeon. He was saying, while David was, I lost my thought. I was trying to get all that straight and I lost it. Oh, while David was, I got it. While David was working, and you know, it just comes back around if you wait long enough. If y'all don't mind waiting with me. He said, while David was working hard in the palace, he's working hard, and people would come to him for counsel. And the theologian said this, that people would come, and Absalom would step out front, and he'd say, what can I help you with? And they'd say, well, I got this problem. He says, well, Dad's busy. You know, the king is busy, but let me help you. And he would okay it. I mean, whatever they wanted, they could have it. He would give it. He would take care of it. Whether it was right or wrong, it didn't matter. We'll just make that happen. Kind of sounded like a socialism thing going on. But I'll just make sure. So people begin to fall in love with Absalom, and that's how he got the kingdom, okay? Just settle that. So now David has to leave because he says, I got to get out of here. This boy's wild. He said, I know him. He will kill me. So he said, I'll be back, though. Don't worry. He knew he would be triumphant because God had set him there. See, when God says you're going to do something, you don't have to worry about it because it will happen. I mean, it's just the promise of God. It's going to. So you may have the demons of hell coming at you to try to distort things, But believe me, you will be back. David got right back over there. But not until all of this happened. Again, he said, they've increased to trouble me. Many are they that rise up. Verse 2, many are they who say to me, there's no help in God. And then David puts a Selah right there. Like, David, I don't know if that's a good place to rest. And he puts Selah. And he just wants you and me to think about that. And I believe that David may have done what I did this morning, just curled up close to the cross and said, let me get over here and I can rest right here, man. The world's going crazy out there. The job may be going like this. My family's like that. My wife is like this, or my husband's like that. But if you can get over to the cross, just sit over there where Jesus said, it is finished. It's all done. I did everything I'm going to do. So he said, there's no help for him. Now, today's world, we're hearing all this kind of stuff. We're hearing all kinds of things. And the president is hearing, it's over for you. He's dirty to us. They've been telling us this for 4 years. And Governor Cuomo said something. Listen, he said something that's going to get him in big trouble. And I prophesy that to you today. Cuomo, you're going to see him. He's going to get in big trouble. You know how I know? Because of this. Because God is going to laugh at his calamity. Play that little cut if you can. Pull those lights down. I want them to see it. It's only 16 seconds. Do not miss this. Pay attention. You probably saw him say it. I sure hope it'll come up.
Today, the number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that.
We did that. God did not do that. Yes, he did. Because we had a 3-day fast and prayer meeting. Pull the lights back up. We fasted and prayed. People were fasting and praying. God did that. God caused the numbers to go down until they had to keep lying about it. They just kept lying. I mean, today if you have a heart attack or you have cancer and you die with that, but you got COVID before you died because you entered the hospital, they're going to put down that you died with cancer, not COVID. Okay, whatever. You got it. They're going to write it down. You died with COVID, not a heart attack, not cancer. Okay, because he wants to keep those numbers. No, finally he says the numbers are down, but God didn't do it. Yes, he did. So I don't want God laughing at this man, but I believe God's going to give us a sign. What I'm telling you this morning, God is going to laugh at that calamity, and that's too bad because he's got daughters and he's got a wife. He's, well, I've heard a lot of people say worse. Well, that's all I can say. All right, so he said, Selah, just think on these things. When you start hearing the devil tell you that's not going to work and this isn't going to work and that's not going to work, and look how long you've served the Lord. And look, you're a tither and you're a giver. And see what happened? Look at what you give, and then look what happened. Look at this bill that came up for this emergency. Don't you listen to that. All right, let's go on. But I do want you to take a Selah right there and think about that, because you've got to know that you're a blessed people and you're in God's hands. All right, let's go on to see what David said. Verse 3, he said, but you, O Lord, you are a shield for me. What's that? A protector? You're my shield, Lord. You protect me. Now I'm running for them, but he says, I'm not worried. That's my boy, and he's mean, and he's full of wrath. But you'll take care of me. You're my shield, and you are my glory. And you are the one who lifts up my head. David knew that he was driven away by this evil man, but he also knew he was going to be just fine and he would return. Can I tell you today, you're going to be just fine and you're going to make it and you're going to look good getting there. And I'll tell you another thing, America's going to be just fine. She'll be just fine in the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, my head was hanging down. How many of you have ever had your head hang down? It's not good when you just feel like you just got to walk around like this. What is it? What is that with us? If we get depressed or feel a little bad or oppressed. I'll never forget the first time I really learned this verse. My husband and daughter, for those of you that are visitors. My husband and daughter were killed by a drunk driver. In fact, tomorrow it will be 34 years, I think. 34 happened November 9th, 1987. And there were some days, she was 10, he was 40. And most of the time, all the time, God was the lifter of my head. And he was our strength. And I didn't even know he was that good. I did not know he was that faithful. It was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. When I got there, he was just there. I didn't have to ask him to help me. He was just there. And so as you're walking along, there were times during that time where my head would hang down a little bit. And, you know, sometimes you just felt like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And other times you just felt like, I don't know if I can do this. And you'd feel like Peter, and you were going to start crashing in the water. And then he would pull me up. And then I heard him say one day, now pick up your head, literally. Keep your head up, literally. And you know what? I learned to do that. And whenever I felt down, and I still do that today, if I ever start my head hanging down, pick it up. Y'all hearing me this morning? Get your head up and your shoulders back. We don't always have a spring in our step, but if you can get one, that helps. You know, now that you can, some folks can just strut their stuff sitting down. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about keeping your head up when sometimes you feel there's nothing to get your head up about. But we got enough right here to keep your head up. Okay, let me finish. Okay, he said, now keep your head up. Do you have that in your spirit? I know that's simple, but it's also profound, and it'll help you a lot if you'll get it. You got it? Okay, get your head up. He's your glory. He's your shield. His glory is your light. Okay, when darkness tries to move in, the glory is his light that wants you to have light in your mind, in your soul, in your heart, in your family, in your marriage, in your life. All over, God says, my people must have light. John said there can be no darkness in us. And then he said, no darkness. Listen, he said, no darkness at all. I don't want any darkness at all in you. Oh, I love that. So he's a lifter of my head. And then he said, I cried to the Lord with my voice. I didn't just sit there and cry silently and talk to him silently. Verse 4 says, I cried with my voice and he heard me from his holy hill. And then he says, Selah. Think about that. He said, just consider that. Just consider that I talked to God, the Creator, and he heard me from his holy hill. Just think on that. Just think about, I'm running out here from a king, and he's got all kinds of shields and armor and chariots and horses, and I have the glory, and I have a shield. And he said, he's got my head up. I'm over here in a cave, but he may take me out tonight, but you know what? My head's up, my shoulders are back. Now he said, just think on that. Selah, just rest. I don't know what you're going through, but you do. See, a lot of us are looking at this mess out here with the election, but you got other stuff. I mean, you got bigger fish to fry at home. Some of you are going through some stuff right now. You wouldn't even want to share it this morning if you had the mic. But I tell you right now, with what David is telling us today, he said, you need to just think on these. When you go home, keep this Psalms number 3. Just keep it with you. Refer back to it. He said, now just stop there, because I cried to him and he heard me. Verse 5. And then here's what happened. When he thought on those things, look at verse 5. Here's what happened. Then, he didn't say that either. I did. Then I lay down and I slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. There's multitudes out there saying, we're going to take you down, church. We're going to take you down, conservative people. We're going to shut your mouth. You are not going to have freedom of speech. Roe versus Wade will never be overturned. Somebody say, oh, yes, it will. Oh, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Would somebody say with me right now, so, so. He said, no, I just laid down and slept in the midst of it. And I woke up. And I'm not afraid of 10,000 of them. You know what? I think we've got such a crazy president, and he's not afraid of anyone either. You know, I told you this a few weeks ago, that guy got right up in front of the whole UN and said, you guys are not paying your fair share. America's been paying it, and you better pay up. If you don't, we're not giving you anything else. You're like, what? Our president's always said nice things. Talk nice now. No, he doesn't know how to do that. And you know what? If we had somebody in there that knew how to talk nice and talk nice all the time, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. We just wouldn't be. But I thank God for the mess, because it means something's happening in America. Things are not going to be the same anymore. So he said, I'm not afraid of 10,000 of people that set themselves around us. Verse 7, arise, O Lord, and save me, my God. Yes, Lord, save America. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Now look, that's what's going to happen, church. Write it down. You'll see it in a week or two. You'll see it shortly. Salvation belongs to who? Look at that again. Salvation belongs to who? You say, oh no, it belongs to me. No, the Bible just said it belongs to him. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessing is upon your people. What? Selah. Think about that. Stand and see the salvation, again, of the Lord. It's his, but he shared it with us. He gave it to us. Salvation is ours. So he said, arise, think on these things. He struck my enemies on the cheekbone, and I won. I'm back in the palace. I'm there. He's going to strike these enemies that have come against America and against his church and against our businesses. I want to see the businesses opened. I want us to be able to go back into restaurants and eat together. I want us to have the fellowship of the church. I want to see the restaurants thriving and people not going broke in these small businesses. It's a terrible thing. But David said, Lord, you are all of that to me, and I sit with you and say, Selah. Now let me just say this, and I'm just going to read it, because I'm not even going to ask you to go, honey. You probably couldn't follow me the way I have it written down, but Psalms 20, I brought that to you a couple of weeks ago, Psalms 20 and Psalms 120, just kind of coinciding with year 2020, but in 2020, I am going to speak these. Some of you, I think most of you in here would hear, you believe in the things of God. You know, the things that the conservative values are all right here. I'm not kidding you. The things on the left, they are raging an evil plot and evil plans. Now, in Psalms 20, I want to say this over POTUS, over the president. I'm going to ask God to please remember, in Psalms 20 it says, may he remember all your offerings and sacrifices for America. I didn't number the verses, but may he remember all of his offerings and sacrifices. This president has made a lot of sacrifices, and an offering of $400,000 a year to a charity. That's a huge offering, folks. It's a really big offering. And so may you remember all of his offerings and sacrifices for America. And I say, Selah. Think on that, church. May God grant you, Mr. President, your heart's desire and the fullness of your purpose. May he get to finish the purpose he started for America, okay? When you're praying, pray that he gets to finish out his purpose. I pray for the United States' prosperity. I pray for our national security, that it is secure. I pray with me on this, that our FBI, if there's any corruption there, it's totally exposed. The FBI, the DOJ, and every other department, the evil that's there, may the covers be pulled back, totally exposed, and the curtains wide open, and the light shine upon it in the next few days. I thank God for this man who has defended our nation, that's put America first. And I can't even imagine why that makes Americans angry. For the first time, we've had a president that puts America first, and defends the unborn and defends our freedom and defends religious liberty. He stood up for us, church. He stands up for the church. The Bible says that his banner over us is love, but Isaiah 59:19 says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you know this verse, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You know what the standard is? The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the banner is his love. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you can put the comma wherever you want it. Some say, well, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up against him. I don't care where you put the comma. It says basically the same thing. When the enemy comes in and he exposes it, he's gone over the line. He's going to be so exposed. I mean, Satan has literally came out wide open and shown himself. But God said, that's when I'm going to see is when it's the, I will be seen and when it's the darkest. Isaiah 60 and verse 1, you should know it by now. When darkness covers the land, a gross darkness the people, my glory will be seen upon you. May God choose to say Selah. I believe he has said Selah right now because maybe this little gap of the winner of the election, maybe it was just to have a little Selah, just to say no more riots. You guys get off the streets and rejoice in the streets, man. These people are all happy. They're all out there dancing right now. The same ones that set cities on fire. The same ones that were tearing down businesses. Now they're saying, can we just get along? Ooh, crazy, isn't it? So I believe God's soaking us old wineskins. He said, you all got stuck in your ways. Let me unstick you. Come on, we're going to have a mighty revival, and I need some new wineskins to be able to hold this new wine that is coming. And Psalms 20, verse 7 and 8, many of you know it. Some trust in chariots, David's saying this, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and falling, but we have what? Risen up. Save the Lord, save the King, save God, hallelujah. May the King answer us when we call. Stand on your feet with me. Woo, may the King answer us when we call. I say, Selah, 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 Selah. Think on these things. Oh, Lord, you've been good to us here in America. You've been good to Landmark. You have been good to all of your people, Lord, who serve you. Father, you have been gracious and kind to those who didn't even serve you. You said, I will be found by those who didn't even call upon me. I will be found by those that didn't want any part of me. Because, Lord, you are so kind, you will draw them. We cannot come to you unless we are drawn by your Spirit. Some may have think that they found you, but, oh, they couldn't come unless your Holy Spirit drew them. I want to ask you today, those of you that are watching from home, you're listening, you didn't hear today, you say, Pastor, I want to know God like David. I feel like I'm constantly running from the enemy of my soul. He barks and I run. He screams at me. He yells negative things. And when he does, I just take off running and I go hide. God doesn't want you to do that. Maybe you're full of fear and you're scared in your spirit. You feel like your nerves are just hanging there by a thread. You just really don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you, your jubilee is here. Jesus is here to deliver, to free, to set free, to do whatever it is that you need dealt with today. Well, every head is bowed, every eye closed. Dear Jesus, look around this congregation. You say, are you ashamed? They should be able to lift their hand. I'll do anything to get somebody just to be comfortable, just that will at least admit their sin and they need to see Jesus. You want to invite Jesus into your heart and life today? If you do, just lift your hand up right there where you are. Come on, I'm not going to call you up here. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand and say, I want to repent today and let Jesus have total control of my life. I see that little hand. Is there another? Is there another? I want Jesus to take control. I give him my heart. You that are at home, nobody's in there. And if they are, you can answer this call right there all by yourself. And listen, if you give your heart to Jesus, why don't you come and be baptized at the end of the month? We'll be baptizing on November 29th. You're not baptized to save you, but you get baptized because you're saved, because you received the salvation of the Lord. Let me pray with you now. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I give my life to you. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Help me, Lord. Save me, Jesus. I give my life and my heart to you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, one more thing I want to do before we go. Are you here today and you say, Pastor, I'm sick. I'm not feeling well. I'm not, again, not going to call you up, but I'm just going to ask somebody to turn around. They're not going to touch you, but they're just going to pray for you at a distance. Anybody, you say, I'm sick. I need Carmen. And Loretta, you're right there by her. You can point to her and pray for anyone else. You say, I'm sick. I need healing today, Pastor. Something's going on. There's Linda D, if you'll catch Linda there. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Well, Father, you saw those hands that went up. They need help. They need help in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're a healing Jesus. Father, your glory is going to cover this land as the waters cover the sea. In that are healing waters, rivers of healing, rivers of faith, rivers of glory. Linda, may you take your healing right now in Jesus' name, all through your body, through your feet. In the name of the Lord. Carmen, may your throat be cleansed of every tumor and everything that is not like God. Be healed and cleansed in the name that's above every name that is named, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you peace. Your heart, and your mind, your soul, body, and your business, your money. And God bless America. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Selah. Amen. God bless you. Make sure you make our visitors feel welcome. And again, all of you, thank you for being with us today.